Take a walk through Seoul's 500 years of ghastly murders, forbidden history, and hidden scandals. Listen to tales of Korea's deepest, darkest secrets. What lies under the concrete? Or who? The Dark Side of Seoul Ghost Walk at darksideofseoul.com. Book now, if you dare.
And welcome to the Dark Side of Seoul podcast. This is Joe.
This is Sean.
And I am at an Airbnb over in one of the central scam headquarters for a lot of scam artists in Asia. I'm in Bangkok right now. I'm in Bangkok because I love Bangkok. I'm not trying to diss Bangkok, all of our Thai listeners. But yeah, a lot of international cons have been traced here. But we'll talk about that some other time. But I'm here on a self-imposed midlife crisis vacation. And Sean is still in the lovely area of Paju in Korea. Hi, Sean.
Yeah, I'm having my midlife crisis where I have all my crises at home.
Yeah, crises at home. Yeah,
in Korea. And so
yeah.
So good time, good trip.
That's yeah, fun. Yeah. I'm okay. Yeah, okay. So Sean, this is relevant to our business. I've really been treating this trip kind of like how we do our tours, where I've just picked a neighborhood, not okay. in any touristy area at all, just in one area of Bangkok, and I've other than one thing I went to the first night, I've really just been staying in this neighborhood, just living like a local. I've been going to the local market, just been getting to know the local food vendors. I wandered into a Buddhist amulets fair.
Interesting.
I thought I was going into a market, like I thought I was going to a food market, and then I stumbled into this big building, and it's just these collectors trying to find the trying to get like these perfect Buddhist amulets. So I went in there and I was like, whoa, this is interesting. So I bought a few. Yeah, it's little surprises you do when you just stay away from the touristy areas. I mean, there's no English anywhere. I haven't used the Google Translate to do anything here. And I haven't learned Thai really fast. This has been good. It's been good for me. I'm learning Thai faster than I learn Korean. But anyway, that's a good way to travel. I like doing this. This is my second time in Bangkok. I still have yet to see a temple. I still have yet to go to a floating market, which is like the Bangkok version of Gwangjung Market in Seoul. I still haven't done any of that. I've really just been, I just hang out and just wander, and I get food. I do a little bit of shopping and I just absorb life. It's just really nice here. I'm really
didn't get
happy.
Scammed. Didn't get scammed yet.
Yeah, not getting scammed.
That's good. Well, we've both been probably scammed at least once in Korea. And we'll get to one of the main focus of scammers coming up soon.
Yes. Famously got scammed.
Yeah. And I think I don't think a lot of people want either recognize this or they don't want to recognize it. But con artists and scammers are pretty common in Korea. They're rampant. And a lot of them are organized. Other ones aren't. But it happens. It happens here. And the idea that it doesn't happen, it's the same thing as when people say, like, Seoul is such a safe city. You can walk around. It's like, well, in Cheongno, you can walk around Cheongno or in the middle of the night. That's okay.
Yeah. But
there are parts of Seoul where you just should not go at nighttime.
Right.
I mean, we've said this before, like south of Seoul Station and stuff like that. That you should avoid, like stay away from places. And so it's not a perfectly safe city. And people are always
scamming's
just
very common here. Scamming's very common here.
Yeah.
yeah, people we know, people we personally know have been scammed here. And it's foreigners and Koreans are getting scammed.
It's so much so that, we've already said that we'll come back to this. We'll do maybe two or three part series on this maybe over the course of the year. We'll come back, but we're going to focus mainly on scams for this episode, that scams that target expats and travelers. So just to give you an idea about how common scamming is, phishing scams, phone phishing, between 2018 and 2018 to 2022, phishing scams have stolen 1.6 trillion won from people in Korea, which is about 1.3 billion US.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of money to be scammed out of.
Wow.
So it's common. Now, phishing scams definitely don't target travelers because they don't have local phone numbers, but that's just an idea of a local type of common scam that really is a big problem. And we'll get to that in a later episode, but this one's going to focus on scams that travelers and expats living here can hope to not encounter, but maybe you can. So, Joe, what would you say is the most common scam for travelers? I wonder if we agree. Taxis. Yes, absolutely. Taxis. Taxis, man. Fucking taxis. They're awful. Known to overcharge or give you a flat rate, the quote, a flat rate. Overcharging
Intentionally going, now these days everyone's using GPS, but back in the day, intentionally going a very roundabout way to an area to increase the fare.
I have examples of all this. So the first time I got scammed, I've been scammed probably twice by cabbies, and living here I got wise to it. And the second time I got scammed, because I was so tired and drunk, I just needed to go home. So I just said yes to the scam. I needed a taxi home. But the first time was years ago. I don't know, it's maybe 2001. And it was one of the earliest times I took a cab home from Hongdae. And I lived in Goyang, in Ilsan, at that time. It was maybe 4 o'clock in the morning. Buses have stopped. Subway has stopped. The only way to get around Seoul and the Seoul metropolitan area is cabs. And so I flagged a cab, got in, told him where I needed to go. He took me. I stayed awake, didn't pass out or anything. And he took the highway. He took the Jayudo which is easy to get to from Hongdae. It's just, you just drive out of towards Hapjeong and then you pass through and then you get up on the highway. And then it's a pretty, at that time at night, it's a pretty quick drive from Hongdae to Ilsan. Maybe 25 minutes because there's no traffic. So less than 30 minutes. And so arrived at the area where I lived. When I was getting out, the guy said it was 40,000 won. 40,000 won from...
Yeah, that's Hongdae. Twice as much as I think it would be.
Yeah, yeah. So the meter was running, and the meter said something like 21,000. And he's like, oh, no, you have to give me this extra 20. So what? I was like, all right. And I had no idea what was going on. So new here, couldn't speak Korean. And so I just said, okay. And I gave him the 20,000. Completely scammed me. The next day, I told my Korean buddy that I was in Hongdae the night before. Got home late. It's kind of hungover, and then I told him he asked me. He's like, "How much was the cab?" And I told him, and he just fell out of his chair laughing at me. "He's like, you got scammed." He's like, "The guy stole your money, pocketed an extra 20,000 from you, from the green foreigner." So. Mm. Yeah, that was my experience, my first experience getting scammed. And I became very conscious of it after. And when my Korean got better, I just wouldn't let, except for the one time when I said, I took the scam. I was like, fine, I just need to go home. And, but whenever drivers have now tried to scam me, I just refuse. It was like, nope. There's no way. Tell me.
It's harder for them to do it these days. They can only days. It has to be tourists that they would scam, because we have KakaoT right now, the Korean version of Uber, but for taxis, where the fare is automatically done. It's already agreed on before you even get the taxi. They can't do anything. They can't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. That was a problem. The government started cracking down on this around 10 years ago, I think I remember. I thought they started standardizing fares from the airports to downtown, like New York does. But last time I did it, I think I got charged a good bit. This is why I drove to the airport this time. I'm not taking the taxi back.
How much are you paying for your parking?
Nine a day. So it'd be cheaper than taking a taxi that will charge me 60 maybe to go back.
Then there you go. Yeah. So it is cheaper. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
So this is, So definitely if you're just going to sit in a cab, the chances are decent that still today they're going to scam you out of some money.
Yeah.
But like you said, not as common, but.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's not the licensed taxi drivers that are doing this. It is, we've talked about before in our mafia episodes, it might be gangsters that are, quote, borrowing a legitimate taxi driver's cab to make some extra money.
And that's also a scam then, yeah.
Yeah, they don't look like the picture on their license.
Right. And then another thing they'll do is they'll quote flat rates,
late at night they would, and they would do they would do that at the airport as well,
right? Which in some locations is illegal. They're not supposed to do that. So one of the ones that I've come across very often is at Gupabal Station. So Gupabal is one of the entrance ways into Pukansan National Park. It's one of the closest subway stops to the western entrance to the park, where there are several trailheads. And from there, you have to either drive, take a cab, or take a bus. And it's close. It's 10 minutes away, 15 by bus. And the taxis there, up until, fairly recently, and I knew for a fact they were still doing this up until recently, and I think maybe they still are, cabs that park there near the station, they line up, and if you go up and you get it, you're in the car and you say, I want to go to Pukansan National Park to the trailhead just up the road, they'll give you a flat rate. And they're not supposed to do that. And they'll say like 10,000 won. And that's way more than what it would cost you, because it would only be like 5,000, maybe that much to go there. And they'll say flat rate 10,000. So they're essentially getting the money from you to come back, which is not the way things should be done. So so if you're ever in that area, and I've noticed a lot more foreigners in that area in the last year or two, I guess they're going hiking. First of all, get out of that part of the park, explore better parts of the park. But get away from the main trailhead on the western side and explore other trailheads in that area. But don't take the cabs, or don't let them charge you a flat rate, because they're scamming you. They're conning you out of money. And another thing, like you said, they'll take a scenic route. If you fall asleep,
when you're mountain hiking, is not such a bad idea, but
you're right. Yes, exactly. but if you don't know where you're going, or you don't pull out a GPS or something like that, the driver, or if you fall asleep in the back of the car, and I have a story coming up about this, the drivers have been known to take you for the long ride.
They'll take you for a ride.
Take you for a ride, Mr. Cab Driver. And So a friend of mine years ago, 2012, I remember this was a buddy of mine was at some event in Ilsan, in Goyang, and he needed to go back to Huajung. That's where he lived. Now, Ilsan to Huajung, driving at about 2-3 in the morning is maybe 10 minutes away, maybe 10 minutes by car. Very, very close. My friend was shit-faced, got in the car. He had just won a painting or a photo of some sort at this event in the raffle. It was a charity event, and he put a raffle in, and he won the prize. It was a big painting in a frame, big framed, glass framed. It was a photo. It was. He won this. He gets in the cab with this photo, big framed photo, tells the driver where he needs to go. 10 minutes up the road, and my buddy passed out, completely passed out in the back seat. He woke up sometime later. They were in Wijungbu.
We'll return to the podcast after this message.
In our first comic, we explored ghastly Korean folk tales while walking the streets of Seoul. This time, we are ambling the Korean highlands with terror tales set in those storied landscapes. Welcome to the dark side of Seoul, weird tales from Korean lore, Mountains of the Macabre.
And his kidney was gone.
His kidney, he was gone. He had a sore, he had pain in his side, and his kidney was gone. So for anyone who doesn't know, Wijungbu, like I said, so he was going from Ilsan to Huajung, about a 10-minute drive at, 2-3 in the morning. He woke up in Wijungbu, in the car. The car was in Wijungbu, which is over 25 kilometers away from where he needed to, from where he started.
Yeah, Wijungbu is pretty far.
So he woke up and they were in Wijungbu, and then the driver had to go all the way back then to Huajung. So the total ride was, I don't know, maybe almost 40 kilometers, and he just needed to go 10 minutes away, but he passed out drunk in the back seat, and the driver took advantage of him. So I remember my friend telling me the story, and I asked him, how much was it? He's like, I don't remember. He just paid in cash and got out of the car. And worst of all, the worst part, if that wasn't bad enough, the worst part of it was the photo that he won, the big framed, beautiful photo, he left it in the cab. Then he forgot it, and he never. So the thing that he won that night at the charity event ended up not going on his wall, because the taxi driver not only took him for a ride, he also got a free photo out of it as well.
Oh wow.
So taxi drivers, terrible. They can be really, really bad. But like you said, it's becoming harder to do things like this these days, because of apps and whatnot. And if you speak Korean, you can avoid this. You can tell the drivers, like, nope, you're not doing this. I'm not letting you do this. And they'll bend. They're like, all right. And then that's it. But generally there are ways to avoid it. So, be careful, avoid these things. So if you're in Korea, I'd recommend downloading. Well, for if you're just visiting Korea, get the Uber app that's here, which just also takes you to taxis. It doesn't actually. There isn't the Uber service here. Isn't ride share
cards? I highly recommend getting a SIM card so you can qualify for getting the KakaoT. Get that working right as well.
That's fine. I've had a lot of tour clients who use the Uber app here, and they said it's great. It works fantastic. I've never used it. Never even looked at it. But they said it's very easy. It's all in English. The drivers often speak English. Mm-hmm. Really easy communication. The app is entirely in English, and they said several people have told me it's ideal. Okay. But I've never tried it. I have no idea. So yeah. There you go. Taxis. And it's funny how right at the beginning when I said, what's the most common scam? Joe said quick taxis. Because definitely it is.
I don't even know what you're going to ask ahead of time. I just
right. Right. So, another interesting thing that has come up in Korea in the last couple of years, even just recently, has come up in the news, is that when people book accommodations online, like on Airbnb, then they arrive at the accommodation, it's not the same as the pictures.
Yeah, it's
totally different. Airbnb has the shitty service of protecting travelers from things like this. I oppose the gig economy generally anyway. But
you just suggested Uber.
But in Korea, it's not a gig. In Korea, it's not a gig economy. But it's not the. Not a gig economy in Korea. It's a taxi service. Well, we know there's no gig taxis in Korea.
Well, I mean, what Airbnb is doing to cities like Seoul has been really bad. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And everywhere. I mean, there are cities around the world now that are now banning Airbnb. They're not allowed to be. I can't remember which ones, but there are cities now that are giving a lot of limitations and things like that.
New York has a lot of restrictions. That Manhattan does, especially. Yeah.
Yeah. They're bad for local economies. They're bad for local real estate industries and things like that.
They artificially raise the real estate in the area.
Yeah. Yeah. And they're known for scamming as well. Not Airbnb, but the hosts are known for scamming. So one thing that's become an issue in Korea is that, you look at the website, you find you're like, that's a good place. I can stay there for a few days. You pay for it. And then when you arrive, it looks nothing like the photo. It's completely different and not nearly as nice. So people are uploading fake photos. Or another thing that's happened is that you're told that what you have booked is a hotel. And when you get there, it's actually like a really small hostel. And you have a private room, but maybe not a private bathroom or something like that. Or another thing that's happened is that you book it. And then when you arrive at the location, it's like a 7-Eleven. It's not even an accommodation. And then you've been duped out of your money. And when you go back to find the booking, it's gone. They've taken your money. They've closed their account or whatever. And then they just open a new one and then trick someone else. And so that's something that's been happening in Korea. And I guess that's happening around the world, but it happens in Korea as well. So be careful with your accommodations. People have been scammed when they've booked accommodations. So be careful, even hotels, not just Airbnb and whatnot, but hotels as well. I think go through systems that you know for sure are trustworthy. That's never happened to me. I've never had any real problems with accommodations.
I haven't really been doing it. I usually get hotels. This time I got an Airbnb because I just kind of wanted to have because I specifically wanted a locals experience this trip.
Right. Yeah. So, there's definitely pros to it. So, but, it's also open to con artists. So everyone be careful. Another one is interesting. I've only ever heard, I don't know anyone that this has happened to. But I have heard about this. This is the drinking buddy scam. Have you heard about this?
I mean, I know some really weird people I've met as drinking buddies on the street, but no one scammed me. No.
Right. So apparently you'll be sitting in a bar, and especially if you're alone or maybe just with one other person, you'll be approached by usually two people, and they'll speak English. They'll be local. They speak English. And they'll strike up a conversation. It'll turn out that you have a lot in common. And start getting friendly with them. And then your new friends recommend going to another bar of some sort. Like they know a wonderful place where you can hang out. And so you go there, and the friend says, "Oh, I know the best stuff to have, the best drinks and whatnot." So so they will help you order some drinks and whatnot. But it may work out in such a way where you don't actually see what they order. And you start drinking with them. They'll order food as well. And it turns out that what they've ordered is something like a 500,000 won bottle of scotch. And you didn't just get a shot. You didn't get a couple shots of it. You bought the whole bottle.
Yep.
And it turns out that your buddies work for that establishment.
Yep.
And they order some fruit, of course. And I think people generally who are visiting Korea don't realize how expensive fruit plates are in pubs and bars and whatnot. It was super expensive. And so then at the end, you get this massive bill. Your friends have disappeared. And when you start to push back and you're like, you know, you shit yourself and you see the price of the bill and you're like, wait a minute, I'm not paying this. I had no idea. Then two bouncers will walk into the room and they're like, yes, you are. You are going to pay for this. And they'll escort you to an ATM.
Mm.
So I've heard of this before.
Yep.
Have you ever heard of this?
Well, I had something similar happen to me, but it wasn't that. Okay. This is about my dating life. I met someone who, online, and they turned it, they told me to meet them. It turned out to be a juicy bar or,
one
of those types of bars. Yeah. But you know, she's really nice. So I thought, okay, we'll hang out. And, of course I knew the rule. You had to buy them drinks. So I was like, okay, I'll buy you drinks. But it started getting to a point where I would buy the drinks, but then they would buy the drinks for all the other girls in the bar too, under my tab.
Oh boy.
And I kept saying, please stop doing this. And, or they would do something like that. And my bill turned out to be humongous.
Oof.
Yeah.
Cause they weren't pouring Captain Q. They were pouring some nice scotch or something, I guess, right?
Well, yeah, the girls tend to give the girls these cranberry drinks, which are very watered down. So they don't get drunk.
Right.
But they're all pricey. They're all pricey. So it can really turn into a bill in the millions of won very easily.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So is that a scam then? Like, I mean, it sounds like it. I mean, are these people going on these dating sites to lure people into the juicy bars?
No, this was not the dating site was not intentional, but when you're in one of these types of bars, you just got to be careful about how this is done. You can try to play the game, but be aware that they will try to get you to, because all the girls get commission on the drinks that they get.
Oh,
and
really?
that's how they make their money. Yeah.
Then there's a scam. I mean, as you said, not on the dating site itself, but within those clubs.
And it's kind of the manager is trying to make sure everyone's taken care of. I mean she has a heart of gold that she wants to make sure all the girls make money that night, so she wants to make sure they all get their drinks. I'll get the commissions. Anyway, just so you're aware of,
be careful of stuff like that as well. So be careful of new drinking buddies. And I think one way to avoid this is if locals want to take you somewhere, be cautious and maybe suggest something yourself to go somewhere. And if they push back really hard against your suggestion, they're probably trying to scam you. If they say, oh yeah, okay, if you want to experience that, let's go here, that means they're actually interested in wanting to be a friend. And so there's easy ways to
might be some other things they want, don't want to get you more. To accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, or some other thing like that.
That's right.
Or
that's right. That's Mammon. Another. right. The Mammon, the Choich. That's another thing. We have. We have episodes on those cults and stuff, and how our guest Lucas was being scammed by people he thought were his friends, and they for like what was it a year? I can't. It's been a couple of years,
6 months
since we did that.
It's been a while. But for how long they did it? How long they did it, or how long we how long ago we recorded it?
How long they were? How long they were scamming him to try to get him into the church?
Yeah, I think it was 6 months. I think so. I have to go check again. But listen to the episode.
Yeah, it's been a while. Yeah. So
it was a long con. Anyway, basically,
tragic.
It was a long con.
A long old con. So speaking of ATMs, these bouncers taking you to ATMs, another scam happens to involve ATMs and Korea's infamous problem with foreign credit and cash cards. I think we've mentioned this a couple of times in other episodes, but if anyone's not sure, for some reason, even in Seoul, this international city or city that wants to be more and more international, it's really hard sometimes to find places that will accept your credit and cash cards.
Right.
Happened last night on my tour. We stopped into a GS25 along the way, at a place where we stopped for refreshments and whatnot. And someone on the tour wanted to have, it was a bit cold last night on the tour. The wind chill was pretty cold. And so he wanted to get something warm to drink. And so I said, yeah, okay, we'll stop over here at the GS. And we went in, he pulled out his American credit card, no dice. I'm like, nope, sorry, we can't accept this. This card's not working. They said, do you have another card? He's like, yeah. He says, but I mean, it's probably just going to be the same thing. Tried it. Yep. Nope. Didn't work. So he's like, I have cash. I'll just pay cash. So it was only like 2,000 or 3,000 won anyway, but he wanted to use this card. Didn't work. And so this is a consistent problem all throughout Seoul. These places just won't accept foreign cards. Even the Shilla Hotel, a 5-star hotel, they do not have a foreign ATM machine in the hotel. So, and I had to help some French private tour guests last year in taking out money because they just couldn't get any money. It was awful. Anyway, so this type of thing happens. That isn't the scam, by the way. That's just a shitty system in place that's difficult to get money out of with foreign cards. But the scam that has been reported is that locals are aware of this. They're aware that people have difficulty taking money out. They go to an ATM and they'll be around an ATM, making it look like that they are just passing by. They'll see you having trouble. Then they'll offer to help. They'll take note of you having difficulty and they'll approach you and offer to help. They speak English. They speak English well enough, and they're charming, they're friendly. And it turns out when they're trying to help you, they actually are carrying a skimmer, a card skimmer, or with the new ones, a shimmer, which scans the skimmers scan the magnetic strips on the older cards, and the skimmers scan the chips, the shimmers scan the chips in the newer cards. And then they get access to your card information. This does happen because these machines manipulate your card information and then they have it. Sometimes this is more commonly done on people will put them on the bank machines themselves. Of course, your card isn't, if the machine can't read your card, then I guess putting them on the machines doesn't work for foreign cards, but one that's in your pocket apparently does work. Not sure how. Looked into it. There are a lot of articles and a lot of YouTube videos speaking with financial experts who are talking about this issue that happens around the world. And apparently this is a scam that has been recorded as happening in Korea against foreigners. So be careful. If you're having trouble with an ATM, with your card at an ATM, be careful who you accept help from. It's best, I would say, to ask if the bank is open, go inside the bank and ask for help. There will be someone who can speak English. Most banks have a manager, at least, will be able to speak English. And in Seoul, there's always someone in a bank or an institution like that, that's willing to help you. So don't, no worries about things like that. Ask for help. Or if it's in like a corner store, ask the corner store, the clerks for help. They'll help you out. And so that's the scam. That's the skimmer or the shimmer card scam and ATMs. Be careful of that. Have you ever had, do you have many people on your tours who have trouble taking money out?
They complain about it, yeah. And I know, and on the ATMs, they will warn you before you even do anything to say, check the card slot to make sure there's nothing on there. They'll have like a little graphic saying when you're just using it every time. That shows how common it is.
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty. It can be pretty bad. Then all your they have access to your card, and then they just, that's it. Imagine being on trip in a foreign country and have something like that happen. Be terrible, terrible experience. Now another thing that's a scam that targets travelers is just going on tours, package tours.
Oh,
something that's becoming quite common and it's been common recently still is that you will find a package tour online. It'll be really, really cheap. And you're like, oh, that's okay. That's an excellent price. Let's do it. You go on the tour. They'll take you to all these wonderful places. But at some point along the way, maybe towards the end, they'll take you into a shopping area. And they'll say it's part of the tour. And they push you to buy things. And when you're shopping or you're traveling, of course, people want to buy souvenirs or, you know, whatever, think presents for people back home. And so you buy something. And it turns out that all of it has been arranged beforehand. When you're buying stuff, the people on the tour make commission on what you buy. And that's why the price of the tour is deceivingly low. It's actually not low. It's actually a scam. You've been conned into spending money more than what you would have spent with an actual registered tour.
And I would go out and say that it's only recently in Korea that it has been considered a scam. It was considered regular business practices.
Oh, that's right.
Because when I first started dating EJ in 2004, 2005, she was a tour guide. Mm-hmm. And some of our dates, we would go down to Namdaemun Market where she would collect her commission from ginseng dealers for taking tourists there.
There you go. Yep. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, it's interesting how that's changed.
Isn't that called dumping? That's called dumping, isn't it?
Dumping. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the Seoul government's cracking down on it now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, they started really from last year. They have something called the Tourist Issue Assistance Center that was established 2023 as if you're on a tour that it seems like they've brought you to a place and forced you to shop, essentially, or if it seems weird, if they're really pushing you to buy things, you can report it. Because it's wrong. It's not fair to do that. The only time I take people shopping is if it's on a private tour and they ask specifically to go shopping. I'll ask them, what are they looking for? So they know that I'm not trying to push them to buy certain products. And I'll say, what do you want? What do you want? And so I'll have a private tour and they'll say, something I get asked a lot is something that's really kind of really Korean, but not common. And I'll say incense, Korea. And I've advocated on the podcast before.
Yeah.
Korea has a fantastic culture and tradition of incense, producing incense. And so I'll take them to a shop where I've been shopping, for instance, for over 20 years. I don't get any commissions from that. I go there myself and that's where I buy my incense. And I want to support it's a little old man in a corner in Insadong who's been selling incense for like 30 years or something like that. So, be cautious if you're on a tour and the tour is really, really cheap. That's one way to tell too. If the tour is expensive, there's a couple of reasons why tours may be viewed as expensive. It's because, well, the value is high, the demand is high. And one reason, they're not duping you into spending more money somewhere else at the end.
Right, right. Really cheap tours, they're going to dupe you.
Yeah, yeah. So be cautious. Okay, and another thing that and I have seen this happen a lot to foreigners, it almost happened. I experienced this. I didn't fall for it, but I did experience this. And this is the idea of fake monks. Fake monks, people dressed up, heads are shaved. They're wearing robes. these things are easy to find. You can buy robes online. You can, years ago, you can just buy them at shops around Seoul. There's shops that cater to monks. I don't think you have to be a monk to go in and shop at these places. They'll take your money. And they'll come up and they'll offer you blessings and a bujak, a talisman, a Korean amulet. They might call it a talisman, but it is a bujak. And in exchange, they'll say to you, would you like to give a donation to our temple? We're a small temple. And would you like, I'll give you a blessing. Would you like to donate to our temple? And they might even have photos of the temple, the names, the temple's name and things like that, even the address. They'll have all this memorized. And all that information may be true. It may actually be a temple, but that person is not a monk at that temple or anywhere. And they're pocketing your money. Now, this doesn't seem to be as common as it was in the past.
Yeah, I don't think I've seen that.
I haven't seen it in a long time, but I used to see it I wouldn't say super often, but I was approached once by a person who claimed to be a monk. This was long before I knew about the scam. This could have been the event that the experience that led me to find out about it. The person came up and he's like, there's a Buddhist talisman. And I was like, no, it's okay. I don't want that. No, I'm okay. And then he said, it's okay. You give a donation to my temple and I'll give you the talisman. I was like, no, Mara, I'm okay. Thanks. No, thank you. And then I told my friend later, it's like, oh, the guy was a scammer. He was trying to steal your money. And I have seen monks who will sit down in the middle of a city, beating the wooden drum with a bowl in front of them, you know, looking for donations. Yeah. Often those were scammers as well. They weren't monks. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but people would donate thinking it's going to a religious organization, because monks do traditionally beg. That is a tenet of monkhood in Buddhism. Monks that travel and they beg for food and for money. Mm-hmm. If they often beg for food, and I've seen this a lot too, they'll beat the drum, they'll walk up to the entrance of a restaurant and bow. And someone will, they'll give them kimbap or something like that. And one time I was there, and the owner said, here's a kimbap. And the guy said, can I have a tteokbokki? The guy wanted tteokbokki instead of the kimbap. And the guy's like, get out of here. I'm giving you food. You beggars can't be choosers. So you're not a real monk. So the guy was just looking for a bowl of tteokbokki. So that guy was fake then too. And linked to that, a really common scam years ago, and I haven't seen this in ages, and this used to happen all the time around Insadong as well, is that you would be approached by someone who is religious, apparently, allegedly religious. And one of the common ones were these fake Taoists, which was a cult, I think. And they'd come up to you and say, do you know Tao? And, you know, in most
like,
foreigners.
Like Tony Tao?
No. Like no, like Tao, like the Tao. Taoism. Yeah. And, you know, most people say no. And then you get, they'll say, okay, well, let me tell you about it. And they're trying to lure you into their crazy church. But another thing is that we've already said, like our friend a couple of years ago, we had Lucas on the tour talking about his experience. They make some chit chat, become friendly, similar to the bar scam, to the, you know, let's go to another spot. New friends at a bar, and they want to take you to a cultural experience. Come visit. Do you want to have a real cultural experience? And usually they're taking you to these cult, you know, they're a bunch of cult nutters, and they want, you know, they'll ask you for money for prayers or some other nonsense and things like that. So I have heard of situations where this thing has happened, people have gone with them, and the experience ended up being good. They weren't being scammed. these people were genuine and they just wanted to give someone an experience. And it turned out they were brought to a traditional tea house. Now, could be similar to the, you know, they knew the owner of the tea house. And so they got kind of duped into spending money there. But at the same time, it was pretty nice. It's not a lot of money. It's like 5,000 right. won for a cup of tea or something. And some of these tea houses, the chat tea are quite nice. They're quite nice. So, and yeah, so, but some of them are just scams. So be very, very, very careful. And, that's pretty much it. There's one more that I know is common, or at least it was very common, in the past, was if you go to a podunk where they don't list the prices, if you're a foreigner, they'll charge you more. And apparently this has been a big issue in Myeongdong, where you go to a lot of the pojang along mm-hmm. the street vendors, and you'll order some food. They'll charge you more because you're a foreigner and the prices aren't listed. So they just charge that you don't know. And they just charge you more for what you've ordered. That's illegal. You know, be cautious of that. So I know now that there's some cracking down on this as well in Myeongdong. And I think Myeongdong now has to, or soon will have to list all of their prices, or maybe that's already happened. I haven't been to Myeongdong in ages. No reason to go there. But I know another thing is that Myeongdong Pojang, the vendors, soon will have to be able to accept credit cards.
Mm-hmm.
This is something that they've been pushing back against for a long time.
Because they did that for traditional markets, they get their credit card machines for free, and I think the government also foots the bill for their credit card fees.
Oh wow!
Helps them with it. Yeah.
Mm, interesting. Well, I mean, after Kwanjang Market became popular because of Netflix, and then its quality plummeted.
Yeah.
I think so many travelers started to go there because locals know, expats living in Korea knew too, that you have to pay cash when you go to these markets.
Well, the reason was the traditional markets were dying out. That's the reason we have that stupid law, which is about to be lifted, of closing down supermarkets regularly.
Yeah,
the e-marts and stuff.
One Sunday a month or something like that.
Every other Wednesday in Gimpo, and it was meant to protect traditional markets.
Yeah, I think the intent was good. It didn't do anything. No, of course, people just wait. They're like, I'll go shopping on Tuesday anyway.
Yeah, it's not like the traditional market doesn't have what I need.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
or I can't get my cheese.
Yeah, right. Yeah. So, yeah, if I want a really good kwabegi, I'm going to go to the traditional market. But if that's not what I'm looking for,
yeah,
doesn't matter. So, but anyway, so. These are just some examples of scams and cons that you may experience as a traveler to Korea, and people who are maybe just moving to Korea, not really aware of these things yet. Just be cautious. You know, these things do happen. Be a smart traveler. There's a difference between being a good traveler and being a smart traveler. And I think smart travelers keep their eyes open against things like this. So just be cautious. Yeah.
And I would say the biggest way that scammers are able to get away with it is shame. And if anyone ever says that they were scammed, and you say, oh, I'm too smart for that, you're an idiot, you're being an asshole and you're perpetuating this. Yeah. Don't shame people who have been scammed. Right. It takes a lot of bravery to tell people that you've been duped. That you've been scammed.
Yeah.
And, sure. and so support them. I would say acknowledge that it was brave for them to point out that they were scammed. And because most scams do not get reported because of the shame surrounding it. So yeah.
I think that's a good point. And I think if anyone's telling you that they got scammed, take that as a warning. because a lot of these scammers are very good at scamming, and especially something like a card skimmers or the shimmers, that can happen to anyone. Anyone, the smartest person in the world can lose their card smart, information to a card.
Smart people get scammed too.
Yeah. Yeah. So there you go. Be cautious when you're traveling. These things do happen.
Well, let's see. There we go. Thanks. Pointing out again, we do have our comics. We're going to do this thing. We got our comics. We got lots of stuff going on here. We got our tour at darksideofsoul.com. Our comics you can get online or on our tour. You can order them on our tours along with some hats and pin badges. We got cool stuff now. A lot of swag we got. We're selling now. Offering. You can do that over at darksideofsoul.com. The Dark Side of Soul podcast is produced by Joe McPherson and Sean Morrissey. Our opening and closing music is by Sardex Sam, which you can find on Bandcamp under Jeju Digital. That was some good chicken rice. Common guy. I like that one. Top tier patrons. Thank our top tier patrons. Angel Earl, Joel Bonamini, Sharon Cullen, Devin Hifner, Gabby Palomino, Steve Marsh. Cheese Marsh. I was going to call it Cheese Marsh. Steve Marsh. Mitchie Brewer.
Calling him Cheese Marsh from now on.
I should do that. I should come up with joke names for everyone. Ron Chang, Mackenzie Moore, Hunter Winter, Cecilia Lufgren-Demas, Emily Umbau, Josephine Reedberg, David Weatherly, Dennis Song, Devin Buchanan, and Edward Bradford. Thank you for supporting us. You too can join this cadre of cadavers at patreon.com/darksideofsoul. We're starting at just $5 a month. You can get a lot of extra content. It's been fun. It's fun. The Dope Cabies are fun. Our group is pretty fun. All right. Good so times. Until next time, be cautious and stay spooky.
Good night.